That's the God we serve, amen. Hey, did everybody pick up a bulletin out there? Now, I know it's a little bit different how we're doing church now because we got to, you know, use some common sense here. But the bulletins and the offering are all going to be out in the lobby there, so we're not passing the plates. That's just another concession that we've made, and it just makes a little sense, you know. So if you'd like, you know, just if you didn't pick one up, go ahead and get one right now, or if you need one, just slip your hand up in the air, and we'll get the ushers to work on you real quick-like. But just some things are changing around a little bit, and we just want to say, hey, happy Mother's Day to all the gals here today. Hallelujah. Come on. It's getting awful quiet in here. Come on, happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Give them a little affirmation here. We all need that. So glory to God. Amen. Now, we're not going to have junior church, and we're not going to have nursery for a while till because we can't really do the distancing thing. And everybody knows little kids are kind of like little bacteria colonies anyway. I mean, they go to school, and they bring back all kinds of crud for you. So we're going to hold off on that for just a little while, and we're only going to do the Sunday morning service. We'll be picking up the Wednesday night service, so it's sort of like a soft opening, and we're going to, you know, get everything up and going as we go. So praise God for that. So amen. You can see all of that stuff in the bulletin, and we're just tickled that you decided, you know, that enough is enough. I don't know about you, but I got sick and tired of telling everybody that I'm supposed to be afraid of being sick and tired, because my God's bigger than that. So, you know, it's one thing for the world to come along and the government and say, well, you know, church is not essential. That's one thing. And that's despicable. Excuse me, I think that was the number one amendment, you know, the First Amendment. But what's even worse than that is when you see Christians agreeing. Well, yeah, church is not essential. You know, Walmart's essential, yeah. According to the government, the pot shops, you know, if you want to go buy your weed, you can go get that because that's essential, you know, and all this other crazy stuff, Walmart, you know. But I think worshiping God is worthy. Amen? Because He's a big, big, big God. So, hey, by the way, we're going to have some special gifts for moms today. So after the service, don't run off. We got some things we want to just bless you with and thank you for being mom. Now, last week, if you weren't here, we had the different three people that are shut-ins. You know, well, Bobby, he's not shut in today. He's here. We're glad to see him. Praise God for that. But, you know, there's just something about getting a card in the mail that's just kind of weird in a wonderful, weird way. You have no idea how much power there is when somebody gets a card in the mail and they open it up and there's just an encouraging word, just something real simple. So we want to do that for Marie Bonham because she's dealing with this pancreatic cancer and she can't get out because taking chemo all the time just wipes out your immune system and all of that, you know. And then Dorothy Smith, she's out there at Maple Lawn, and we want to make sure that we get Dale and Bonnie too, because they've been kind of hunkering in the bunker for a while. So would you just do that? You got the addresses and everything right here, so just whip off a card and send it off to them, and, you know, be that person that lifts up a friend in the church. Amen. Makes a huge, huge difference, so praise God for that. So anyway, are you ready for the word this morning? Buddy, I am. Glory to God. Hey, if you got your Bibles, let me get myself ready. If you got your Bibles, would you open to 1 Peter chapter 3? 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, while you're going there, let me just start off with, you know, when God made everything back in Genesis, and in chapter 2, He says, you know, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should live alone. Now, that sounds kind of weird because every day God was coming down and having fellowship with His man, Adam. But he was just Adam. He was just one guy. And how many of you know God has an infinite capacity for love? There's an infinite capacity. So how are you going to get more than just Adam down there? You know, oh, God could have done it a bunch of different ways, but He decided, He said, I'm going to make him a helper that's comparable to him. So we all know that God made the woman, right? We all know that. He made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But, you know, I don't want to get too far off in the weeds with that. But do you know why He made woman? Now, I know there are some people that have gone through different times, you know, in their married life and whatnot, and you're just not really sure, you know, what He had in mind because, you know, it can bring stress. One of the things I've learned in the ministry for 26 years is, you know, that opposites attract when it comes to a man and a woman falling in love. But unfortunately, if you're not careful, those opposites can attack. So why did God make woman? Think about it for a minute. So let me just share this with you. This just kind of bubbled out of my heart this week, so I thought, you know, well, that's pretty good. I better write that down, you know. Sometimes when the Holy Ghost comes along, he can do some amazing things if you just pick up the clues, you know. See, when God had created the world, and all that was in it. And after that, he had some great fellowship with his man Adam, right? Every day the Bible says he'd come down in the cool of the day and he'd trot out all the critters in front of Adam and see what kind of character Adam was going to put into that creature that God had created, you know. But he realized when he looked around and thought about it that something was missing from this great plan. Then when God saw that Adam would need someone who could help restore his hope after he would occasionally, you know, fail miserably in life, so God created a woman. When God saw that while Adam was created perfect but alone and would be forever, that there was no means for multiplication, God created a woman. When God saw that as his counterpart, it would have to be someone who would complement him. This person would have to have many similarities, but also some wonderful difference in order to make the two whole. So God created woman. Well, Adam was strong and direct and capable of dominion by the sheer force of his will. He needed an equal that could be compassionate and patient, in order that it would help him to be the best resemble God himself, who is both strong but kind and direct but patient. So God created a woman. God looked and he saw that there needed to be someone who could be capable of bringing forth new life, that this would require a person who was equipped especially with the instincts of nurturing and mercy and restoring strength, and standing by the family throughout their entire lives, no matter what. So God created a woman. That Adam needed a partner through all of life's hardest challenges and sweetest victories, a person that could fill all the days with love and hope and laughter, to provide the peace and the contentment of everyday living. Someone who would take whatever Adam could provide and take it up a notch. God considered all the delicate gifting and attributes that would make it both beautiful and have an inner strength and a soul that was so strong and loving that she could easily hear from God and confirm what her partner would hear. Someone who can embrace the impossible and never give up. So God created a woman. Not from his foot to be beneath him. Not from his head to rule over him, but from his side to walk with him as a co-equal in the affairs of life. Kind of like the Trinity. As his life partner, that they would be melded together as one person, working and playing side by side, enjoying this gift of life, uniquely different yet in perfect harmony together. That's why God created a woman, to make the earth a little more like heaven. Yeah. Are you there in Proverbs? You know, since God went to all this trouble, he meant it when he said in Proverbs, now you're down there in 1 Peter, but in Proverbs 18:22, he says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I used to pick on my wife for that, you know. When I first got saved, man, I was just in the Word. That was it. She had a study Bible, and then suddenly it became my study Bible because I couldn't get enough. And I got into Proverbs, and I read that, and I said, hey, baby, look at this. It says, man finds a wife finds a good thing. You're a good thing, baby. Then I thought about it for a minute, and I realized, you know, when he said a good thing, that means anything and everything and all kinds of things, you know. And for 46 years, my wife and I have been on our honeymoon. Found a good thing right there. Favor, and it also goes on, he says, in that you obtain favor from the Lord. And this favor means that we have access to God's acceptance and his delight, his good pleasure, and his will for our lives. What a deal. Who knew all that came in with the rest of the benefit package? Amen? That covenant connection amplifies everything that you plant in there. So anytime I give my wife grief, I get grief amplified. Whenever I give my wife honor, honor is amplified in return. When I give her love, oh, comes back multiplied 100 times over. Women are amplifiers, don't you know? They're multipliers. They do everything great. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we're seeing here that God, as he's developing this understanding, because so many people I talk to, you know, and in my life growing up, being a guy, you know, talking to other guys with guy brains, it gets kind of interesting when the subject of women come up. Because there's all kinds of different rabbit trails that they run down. But one of them that just seems to come up every time is that, you know, you can't ever figure out a woman. And that's an easy thing to say because, let's face it, you know, if you got a guy brain, you're a little bit handicapped when it's understanding a girl brain. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm preaching up here pretty good, Jim. But you see, God doesn't give us that out. Yeah, they're different, but you're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge, the Bible says. In other words, you're supposed to figure them out. And you need God's help. Oh boy, do you need God's help. So in 1 Peter, he starts out, there's several places in the New Testament that tells you how to make it easy, because you can make it as hard as you want or you can make it easy. And how many are in the easy group? I'm in it for the easy side of it, you know. I tried it, first 10 years of my married life, I tried it the other way, and boy, was I messing it up. And at that 10-year point in my married life, I came to an encounter with God and everything changed. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That you dwell with them as an equal, heirs together, the Bible says. So that kind of blows out the whole world's mentality, you know, that it's the man who wears the pants. You know, she just does what I tell her to do. You know, that was kind of the picture of my first 10 years. I'm sad to say, I'm not bragging on it at all. Because when God started revealing this stuff to me, I mean, it's amazing what you pick up just reading your Bible a little bit every day. When I got to that point, I realized, uh-oh. Kind of like Bill Engvall said, you know, that comedian guy, he goes, here's your sign. I read that and I went, oh, no. You know, I was falling more and more in love with God, and His love was pouring through me, and my wife, who had prayed for 2 years, she got saved, she got smarter 2 years ahead of me. And in many ways, it's been that way my whole married life, you know. But she had an encounter with God down in Texas, and for 2 years, she prayed for me. And I finally had this encounter with God at the age of 28 in my garage, you know, and I began to see some things about my life that just wasn't any good. You know, God will clean you up. He won't chew you out, point the bony finger at you, but He'll say, you know that part right there? You better let that part go, because it didn't help in things at all. And me being, you know, Mr. Right, Mr. Always Right, was not biblical at all. I know it's a shock to some people, but you know, it came to me, you know. So if I'm heirs together with God, and I want my prayers with my wife before God, and I want my prayers to be answered, how many of you are with me here so far? God says you got to honor the wife. I don't care if she can't bench press, you know, very much, you know, or lifts too many weights, but you know what? The strength that's in my wife is amazing. I remember for one time, you know, my wife doesn't nag. She doesn't nag. But she'll remind me from time to time, and I appreciate that, because I was born with a bit of a squirrel brain. I'm just telling on myself here. You'll just smile, look straight ahead. You don't have to confess it right here. But down in our basement, our house was built as a basement house, and so it's a full and a complete basement, and that's where the people lived way back when they first built the house, and then they built the house on top of it. And down there we had kind of like a kid's room and all of that, and we had, somehow or another, was given to us one of those hide-a-bed sofas. How many of you ever moved a hide-a-bed sofa? Oh my gosh. And she kept telling me, you know, I want to get that out of there. It wasn't a very good one. It was given to us and it was falling apart. And we'd use it a couple times for guests. And, you know, if you've ever been invited over to somebody's house and they let you sleep on the hide-a-bed, it's a memory you never forget. Because there's that bar right there and you can't do nothing. You roll on your side and it's like, ooh, you know. So she told me about it, and, you know, a couple months later, she said, you know, that it's good to get that couch out of there. Then she went on a little farther, you know, and the next thing I know, I come up, and the couch is in the kitchen, and I'm going, and she's home alone. I didn't want to lift it up. It'd take 4 men and a boy to get it upstairs, you know, but she found a way and never said a mumbling word, and, of course, I felt about this tall. But, you know, I got to give honor to her. Remember what I said about her being an amplifier? Yeah. If I honor her, what do I get in return? Somebody know? You get honor, yeah. You don't plant corn and get green beans. Whatever you're sowing is what you're going to be reaping, you know. So it's important for us to see that, that our wives, and you know, the mothers of our children and our moms and such, you know what? God created women to be a faith warrior. Oh, yeah. There would not be much of a church today if it hadn't been for the women that got saved before their, you know, husbands who had a head like a brick. I'm telling on myself again here, you know. Think about it. He had Moses' mom. Edict comes down from Pharaoh. If he just says kill him, then somebody comes by and kills you or whatever. But he'd said that there's no more Hebrew children going to be born. But Moses' mom, she was strong enough. She was a faith warrior. She trusted in God. Turned that little boy loose in the Nile River with the crocodiles and everything else around there and just sent him off in a basket. And sure enough, look what God did through him. Moses' mom was a prayer warrior. Even over in the New Testament, we hear about Priscilla and Aquila, which were people that went about and were evangelizing and spreading the gospel and doing incredible things. It's funny because culturally speaking, the man was, you know, was a male dominant society back then. And the way it should have been written, according to the way the world thinks, it was that it was Aquila and Priscilla. But she got top billing. Why? Because she was a warrior, a faith warrior. She helped her husband right side by side, not two steps behind, not yes, dear, whatever you say. When there's love, there's none of that. When you're walking in the God kind of love, he doesn't give anybody the right to dominate another person. So that love just brings elevates everybody up. Think about Mary Magdalene, of all the people. She was one messed up gal when Jesus got her restored. And she was the one that God chose to be the first evangelist. Yeah. Yeah, the gal with a history, the past, you know. Didn't matter. Didn't matter at all. Mary Magdalene was in the upper room with the rest of them, you know. And my wife, I think of her so much, how she prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. Because all I had was this big, fat, stupid attitude that my old lady got religion and I got to somehow get her off of that, you know. How silly can you be and still remember how to breathe, you know? But think about it. God created women to be so much more than what we think they should be. And as soon as we let go, as soon as we take our foot off the brake, we get amazed, you know? God gave us this command because we need each other. And we need to embrace the differences that we have honorably. We need to discover each side of our partner that makes them who they are. I've been married 46 years. I'm still on my honeymoon because I'm still finding out things about my wife that I never knew. And I've been paying attention for the last 36 years. But there's just so much there. This is what keeps a marriage from becoming stale. You know, I've been in the marriage counseling business for 26 years now, and I can't count how many times I heard somebody say, "Well, we fell out of love." I'm thinking, how do you fall out of love? Well, if you think it's a Hollywood emotional thing, well, yeah, I guess you can, but that's not what God's called us to be. Every time that you think you got her figured out, she shows you there's more, and it's amazing. My wife's kind of a particular eater. This is just one that really kind of blew me away. But remember, I got a guy brain, so it doesn't take much. We were traveling, and we stopped in at a Cracker Barrel, you know, and she always likes the chicken livers. That's one of the things why I married her, chicken livers. Because we went out to the Kroger store, and we were going to pick up some meat, and we were going to do a picnic and, you know, barbecue some stuff on the grill and whatnot, you know. And I'm looking for the T-bone. I'm a carnivore, you know. And as we're going down through the meat section in there, she pulls up this little 35-cent plastic, looks like a cottage cheese tub, of chicken livers. I'm going, really? She goes, yeah, I like chicken livers. And I'm thinking, who is this woman? You know. But for 35 cents, she was happy. So I thought, hey, everybody wins, you know. So I got a little bigger steak. That was great. She since has learned how to like steak. But anyway, so we're in Cracker Barrel, and she orders the chicken livers because they make them just the way she really likes them. And you can't hardly find any restaurants that serve them anyway. So And I'm sitting there and I'm getting, I always order something different. She always orders about the same thing, you know. And I like the turnip greens that they got there. Oh, man. I like their fried okra. Am I preaching real good to anybody out there? Come on now. It's about lunchtime. I'm just tuning you up for supper here. So this one time we were in there, and she ordered what she wanted and whatnot, and I ordered what I wanted, and then she said, I'll have some of those turnip greens. And I'm like, oof, because she wouldn't touch that with a gun to her head. I mean, no way, possible. I mean, they put the ham chunks in there, and it's so good. Put a little apple cider vinegar on it, man. But she wouldn't touch it. So that one day she orders it, and I'm thinking, who is this woman, and what have you done with my wife, you know? So she gets it, and she actually eats it. Now, it doesn't sound like much to you, but, you know, I've been married 46 years with this woman, you know, and I'm still getting stunned every now and then that she's just not what I pigeonholed her into being. And so we laugh a lot with those differences that we have. Because think about it. If both of you are identical, husband and wife, one of you is unnecessary, right? So for my wife to be the way she is and me to be the way I'm, let me tell you what, we have a lot of laughter in our marriage because it's just, it's crazy. Because every time, you know, you think she's got me figured out and I think I got her figured out, well, it just goes the other way. That's fun. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. See, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Moms, you are so, so, so dear to the heart of God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 21. You got it there, Cheryl? She's about to pop it up. Here we go. Now, most of the time they start in 5 and verse 22, where it says, wives, submit to your husband. But you just back up one verse and here, look at what it says. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, let me tell you this. Submitting doesn't mean that suddenly that one's the master and the other's the slave. Submitting is all about adapting yourself to that other person. You got to adapt yourself. You got to slow down a little bit, and you're not the master and commander, or, you know, of the universe. But if you're submitting to one another, and that's telling everybody, we all got to submit to each other. We all got to adapt ourselves to each other. That's why when we look out in the world today and we see so much division and hatred and all this, some UN guy says this coronavirus has caused incredible hate to be released. Yeah, I hate being confined and having somebody don't know what they're talking about tell me what to do. That's the part I hate. But truth be told, we get into that so much. But if we're submitting and adapting to one another, especially in the home, I mean, think about it. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Think about it. If you got any sense at all and you got a godly woman in your life, the mother of your children, you know, it makes some sense to ask her what she thinks. My wife and I have decided that, you know, that neither one of us are going to go out and spend a lot. Well, let me just back up. That I'm not going to go out and spend a lot of money because my money is a lot safer with her than it is with me. Without talking about it. We've kind of set about $100 limit in there. So, you know, if I want a gun, because I'm a guy, I got a guy brain, unapologetic. Or if I want to, you know, do this or do that, you know, and you know, we got to be in agreement with it. Like back in 2001, you know, I'd been looking for a different kind of pickup truck. I was disappointed in the one I got. The check engine light just kept coming on all the time. So that means I get a new truck. At the time, things were going so well, and anyway, her brother had one of the early editions of the Ford Lightning pickup truck before it was supercharged, and I thought that was the coolest truck I ever saw. I'm a Ford guy anyway, so you can pray for me later. So anyway, I said, you know, I'd like to get a Lightning pickup. And she looked at me with that sweet, beautiful face, and she says, I think you should. I'm like, God, this woman. So we put the deal together, and I was able to get it at the employee discount. They don't sell those things under, you know, at sticker price. Most of the time, they sell them above sticker price because they're hard to find. There's only three dealers in all of the state of Michigan where you could go buy one. So we operate that way because I want her wisdom. I want to know what she thinks about stuff because she's got the Holy Ghost too. Why would God give me a Spirit-filled life partner that I don't ask, you know, what's going on before I ever went into the ministry? I'd had another God encounter and it was amazing. And, God basically told me, you're going into the ministry, but I'm not dragging my wife into the ministry kicking and screaming. No, sir. That's not in the deal. I got a covenant with her in the eyes of God. So I got to honor that covenant if I'm going to be honoring to God. So it took 2 years from the time that I knew I was supposed to go till the time that I actually showed up in the classroom. 2 years. I told my wife about it, you know, and she's like, what? God only wanted me to get saved, you know. And she thought that that automatically meant that she was going to die and I would find someone who was the stereotypical pastor's wife. Can you imagine that? So I stepped back and I didn't say about anything about it anymore. I just said, God, my wife knows you and loves you. And you talk to her, Lord, because she can hear from you. And when she's ready to go, we'll go. And God had to deliver her from those fears of inadequacies and all the other pastors' wives that she looked up to that she thought was impossible for her to be someone like that. And when God set her free, away we went. You see, that covenant is so precious. And like it says in 1 Peter, man, I got to honor her. I got to treat her as Jesus' sister, right? Just like I'm a son of God, she's a daughter of God. So you know what? If I treat her bad, that's not very smart. And I have found such a blessing that has come out of that. The way I see it every day, mothers are the glue of the family. Think about your mom. What was she like? Yeah. And if you were blessed to have a gal that you, with children and all of that stuff, I mean, whether you're the mom, the stepmom, or whatever, I mean, what you see is being brought to the table because of what God has invested in that woman. It's amazing. You got to see that incredible value in your wife. You got to maximize who she is as a woman of God. Just like my wife helps to maximize who I am as a man of God. My job is to help her to become the very best woman that God made her to be. To let all those giftings come out. You know, when I have a traveling minister that comes in and someone that I haven't met before and, you know, really the first time they're coming to preach and all of that, you know what the acid test that I have? Not how good they preach, not how many people are doing carpet time knocked out on the floor. It's how he treats his wife. Yeah. To me, that's the measure of the man. Because if he's all that in a bag of chips and his wife is just, you know, scurrying around doing what she's expected to do, I don't look up to guys like that. I just don't. But if he is empowering his wife and she is, you know, not everybody's got their own kind of personality, but at the same time, you can tell when a woman is free to be herself. She doesn't have to be Joan of Arc. She doesn't have to be, you know, the alpha or whatever, however you want to put it, but when she finds out who she is in Christ and her husband's been pouring himself as the high priest of the house into his wife, that's the guy I want to hear from. That's the guy who's been in the presence of God. That's the guy that sees, you know what, that the greatest of all really is the servant of all, like the Bible says. That's why I got to take my game up several notches in order to outserve my wife. Because the greatest of all is the servant of all. And if your wife is out serving you, fellas, that's not good. That's not the way it works. So anyway, in Ephesians 5:28, you don't have to turn there, but it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Yeah, loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Does Jesus dominate the church? No. He pours all of himself into the church, just like I need to pour all of myself, and I hope you do in your relationships with the women in your life. See, when this happens, something really glorious starts, and it begins to grow because your wife becomes the greatest thing in your life. Divorce becomes a word that isn't in your vocabulary because of the grace that's there. Go to Proverbs 31. This is the big one. I got to turn you loose here at some point, but if you read here in Proverbs 31, think about it as picturing someone in your mind who's like this. Because the wallflower, do as you're told, you're there to make babies and make sure that my supper is ready and, you know, and all this stuff. You're not looking at these things the way God looks at them. But when you do, oh my, my, everything changes. He says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household. For all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor is her clothing. She shall rejoice in times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you've excelled them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. God never made gals to be a second-class citizen. He never did. Hello? Boy, awful quiet out there. Maybe I'm stepping on some toes. That's a good thing. He endowed her with the mind of Christ. He gave her wisdom and favor to be prosperous, the courage to seize an opportunity that no one else can see. He gave her the strength to endure long hours of hard work, the compassion to sow blessings into the unfortunate. My son, wasn't that long ago, he was really big into paintball. He's in his 30s, and you, man, I'll tell you what, you got to be dressed up like a hockey player. Has anybody here ever been hit with a paintball? Man, that thing hurts. And it's just a little plastic ball with paint in it. But anyway, they do this whole kind of a warfare thing with two teams and all that. And I've seen him bring in his pants, and they're really, really heavy, like insulated Carhartts, only a lot more than that. And it looks like he threw them into a wood chipper. And he brings this mass of rags. He says, Mom, can you sew it? And she puts it back together. There were times where he was going back for another thing that was coming up, another, you know, because he was on the national team that went all around the country. And as expensive as the gear is, you don't want to just throw it away because it's ripped up. But this one was so bad. I mean, the wood chipper was perfect way of describing what it looked like. She stayed up till 2 in the morning so he could have it because he was flying out the next day. That's what we're talking about here. That's the mom. That is the mom. The strength to endure long hours of hard work, the compassion to sow blessings into the unfortunate, for her faith in the Lord is strong and abiding. And all it takes to get this to come out of a gal is honor and appreciation from those that she loves. You have no idea what's on the inside of a gal until you start pouring these things in. Think about it for a minute. You'll be amazed when you find out who God has really created her to be. As all of these things begin to emerge out, we need our wives. We need our mothers and daughters to be empowered to rise up in the dark days that we're in right now. This is no joke. We need to have that strength that's there to be everything that God designed that woman to be, in service and in prayer, in the Word, and in places of leadership. Time is short. We don't have no gender thing in this church. I used to wonder about this when I saw women preachers, you know, because I read that part where women are supposed to be silent in Corinthians, you know, where Paul was talking. So I didn't fully understand it. And I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around it, and there's some things in there that seemed inconsistent, you know. You know, if you had, you know, women that had churches meeting into their house in the New Testament, and you had Priscilla that was doing there, you know. And so as I started thinking about that, I says, God, you know, did you put Murray Woodworth Edder or, you know, or Catherine Kuhlman or Marilyn Hickey or all these other women that are out there that with signs and wonders, you can't say they're doing that in their own strength. God, did you put them out there because none of the guys would step up? And you know what? Let me just tell you, it's no fun when God takes you to the woodshed. Because I got corrected quite sternly as I was seeking God's understanding in all of this. That God didn't make the woman to be second in anything. But He made her unique. Not like a guy. And I'm so glad for that. I would not be where I am today if it hadn't been for my wife. I wanted 11 kids. She said, I'll have the first two, you have the third one, and I'll have the rest. That's exactly what she said to me. And this was back in the day when, you know, men were evil, they were diseased, and you kept them out in a separate room until the child was brought forth, and they had the glass with the chicken wire in it. What the heck is that all about? Where you could look through the window, you know, and see your kid. Well, it got to that point when our son was due to be born, and I was one of the early ones at the Coldwater Hospital that it got to go into the delivery room. They had me gowned from head to toe. And the doctor says, you stand over there and you shut up, you know. And I'm watching this whole thing. I watched both of my children be born. And if she said two was enough, I'm good with that. Because I ain't going through that. But my wife is the reason why I'm in the ministry today. She's been the helpmeet. She's been my comforter. She's been, it's aggravating and wonderful at the same time how my wife sounds so much like the Holy Ghost. I'm still getting used to that, okay? But when the Lord speaks through her, I know it's the Lord. And we need that in this day that we're living in. The world is no longer a strange place. It's a dark and a dangerous place. And we're right at the jumping off point for the trumpet to sound. And we need everybody, men, women, boys, and girls, being in the exact place that God's called them to be, doing exactly what He's prepared them to do. I am not intimidated by women preachers anymore. I don't care. If God's working through a gal, He can work through a gal just as good as He can work through a guy. That's just the way we are at this church. But the power of God and the love of God, when it's wrapped up together in the man and in the woman, it's an unstoppable force. We're here in perilous times, the Bible says. We need everybody. So gals, I invite you to suit up, to be who God's called you to be. For everything you do, moms, we just salute you today. For you truly are a gift of God to us all. Amen. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that today is Mother's Day and it's a time where we really specifically honor moms. But Lord, help us to do this every day. That we wouldn't be sitting back and just taking them for granted or somehow or another just going about our business, not even paying attention. God, I thank you that you gave me my mom. I wish she'd have lived past 47 years, but it was to her time. But Lord, I don't want to ever forget what she put into my life, or my mother-in-law, or my wife. So today, Lord, show me how to honor them in a way that is befitting the person that you made them to be. Help me to see and know, Lord. Help me to be that man that understands and brings out the greatness that's on the inside of them every day. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me ask, heck, it's only 11:30, jeez. But let me ask, is there anybody here that would like prayer for anything? I want to pray for Bobby, because he's dealing with leukemia and has been since last May, so this is a year since they said he had it. And it was pretty well advanced by the time they figured out that it was leukemia. And he can't get his blood counts to stabilize. He's had the bone marrow transplant, stem cells is what they use now. And it was fine, and then suddenly it wasn't fine. So he's back on chemo again, and his, like I said, his blood counts are doing all this stuff. And they want to go back in, what, this coming Tuesday? Something like that? They're going to do his bone marrow test again to find out what's going on. We need a miracle. Seriously, we need a miracle, because this cancer thinks that it can defy the Word of God. That it doesn't have to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. So we're going to be praying for Bobby. Right here, right now. Come on. And if anybody else needs prayer for anything, you're going through something, just come on. Yeah, Bernadine.
Can I pray for Chris?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She lost her mom. Chris DuBois lost her mom, Gloria. She had COPD and kidney things going on, too. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll be praying for her. Come on, Bob. Let me get this out of the way. If anybody else needs prayer, come on. I don't care what it's for. Whether it's a health issue or financial issue, you need a breakthrough in any area of your life this morning. Come on up. Don't worry, I gelled my hands, so we're all cool there. Yeah. I haven't touched my wife, so I don't have any cooties. Psalms 91. There you go. Come on, anybody else? Just come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Now, we don't allow spectators in this church. Christianity is not a spectator sport. So I ask you, if you don't come up, just at least stand where you're at and stretch your hands forth and turn the switch of faith on and believe that whatever these folks are up here for, that God is going to pour that into their lives. Whatever it is, we got a great big God, amen? And faith is the victory. Faith is our connection to heaven. So stretch your hands out. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Bobby. I thank you, Lord, that you're the healer. I thank you, Lord, that leukemia cannot defy you, Lord. And I speak healing over my brother from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I plead the blood of Jesus over him right now. And I command this blood count to be stabilized. That healing is ours right now. You took those stripes on your back for every sickness and every disease. So, Lord, we just call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for that impartation. Thank you, Lord, for that incredible grace. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just say this with me. I believe. I receive everything I need from the Lord Jesus Christ. When hands are laid on me, it's mine. I have it now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More. More, Lord. More and more. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my King. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my King. Yes, Lord. It's yours right now. Thank you, Lord, my God. Thank you, Lord. Receive in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up Dale and Bonnie Covey. We thank you, Lord, there's no distance in the Spirit right now, that they are receiving this anointing coming into their life. For Marie Bonham, thank you, Lord, that pancreatic cancer cannot defy the name of Jesus Christ. For you have made all things well. And so we speak healing over her as well. And for Crystal, for this broken heart of losing her mama. Lord, I'm so glad that she was able to be with her right up to the very end because of hospice. And that Gloria graduated into heaven. But Lord, help Crystal. Help Erica with their broken hearts today. Just fill that place, their home where they're at right now, with your loving presence, Lord. And we give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for it, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you that Bobby's the healed of the Lord. Thank you that grace is flowing everywhere we go because of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my God, my King, my Redeemer, my Abba Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you do. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good report, right, Bob? Good report. Good report. Hallelujah. Well, gals, now if you haven't done your offering, there'll be the offering plate will be sitting out there in the lobby, so you can take care of that. We appreciate your generosity. Our church has been doing great through all this craziness. It's because of your faithfulness. But we do have some geraniums out there we want to give to the gals. So please, the ushers will be back there ready to hand one to you as you go out the door. Just know we love you. More than those flowers could ever express, we love you. And we want you blessed. We wanted to give you something that's growing instead of a cut carnation like we've done before. Something that's just going to get prettier and prettier all through the summer. Amen. So please do that and know that we love you. God loves you, and we'll see you next Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.